Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us as you promise. Thank you, Lord, that when we come together, Lord, you said that you are going to be in our midst. And we know, Lord, we sense it. We, Lord, realize more and more that you are not far away, that you are here close to us, Lord, to minister to us, to direct us, to quicken us, to anoint us, Lord, to heal us, to set us free, Lord, to minister, Lord, to all our needs. And we just acknowledge that, Lord, and praise you and thank you in advance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I was listening to the audio from last week, you know, and I realized I was speaking so quickly that I wasn't finishing my sentences and moving into something else before I even finished talking. The thing is, you see, when the anointing comes, it's difficult to keep being logical. My brain was going, you know, my thoughts were going much faster than what I could speak. And so you just can't keep up with your mouth. Praise the Lord. But the anointing was there. You know, and actually people got it anyway because about 95% of the people were came up for prayer. Okay. And really, you know, it's important the praying and the impartation that takes place when you pray for them, you know. But the understanding is just as important. Okay, because without the understanding, you cannot keep it. You cannot. You just go by the anointing of the moment. And then when it's not there anymore, you don't get it. You lose it. See, that's what happens, you know, a number of times. And what happened, I was just sharing, you know, what happened, for example, October the 15th, you know, there was a strong anointing there. And at the end of the service, you know, one of the people that needed healing came in and was really weak and devastated, got it. And at the end, I noticed that and I knew it. I said, you got it. Now keep it. You know, unfortunately, it didn't happen that way, you know, that he lost it. But that doesn't mean if you got it once, you can get it another time. And you had to hold on. But you had to understand how to resist the devil. Okay. Well, you know, at that time, something else happened too. Okay. I got the healing too. Partial healing. Okay. It's about 6 months. You know, I had... all the time I was preaching, at the end of the preaching, I was in pain. I had pain on the side, on the back. And, you know, and the reason is I thought it was I pulled a muscle. But instead, you know, with time, instead of getting better, it got worse. And until the October 15, when... you know, so for that reason, you know, I was trying not to move too much, just to stay on here behind the stage because I thought maybe, you know, I just exercise too much or whatever. So I was trying to be still. But when the anointing came on me and I said, forget it. And I just went around and did my usual stuff. And at the end, I realized that the pain was reduced enormously, probably down to 40%. And it stayed that way. The interesting part is that it wasn't bothering me too much when I was on Sunday morning. The devil wanted to, you know, to get me cooled down, but no way. All right? I mean, I just kept going and I just didn't move as much, but, you know, the following week, got the anointing again and went down again. Went down to maybe 30% instead of 40 it was before. Praise the Lord. See, what I realized I had a hernia. The idle hernia, you know, on this idea. And when the difficult part was after the service, when I had to stand up. See, when you stand up, the things get worse. Okay, and I would not stand up for an hour and a half. So that was when it was really getting me, when I was preaching. Okay, the point is it was starting to change. I was starting to think I had to do something about it, because I had about 6 months. But, things start to improve. So I said, I hold on for 2 more weeks and stay the same. But last week, I just was jumping all over the place. You must have seen me, and I don't think it was strong. By the time of the meeting, I had no pain whatsoever. And all the symptoms are gone. The enemy tries to come and try to rob it and take it away later on. And that's the thing that people should understand. You know, the fact that you got the victory and, you know, you get it by faith. Well, if you start doubting, you lose it. And you have to understand that the enemy doesn't like you to win. So he's going to try to take it away and try to put doubt in you and try to, you know, sometimes even put false symptoms on you. And you have to be there, taking a position, engaging him, you know, opposing him, resisting him, and he will flee. Amen? Now, you know, all this, I think that is for us to really learn something. I certainly learned quite a bit from this. Okay. I know that the battle and how to fight the battle, but you know, the key to get things from God, the key to have faith to get things from Him is not to have faith to get things from Him, but to have faith in His love. To believe what the Word says about the love of God. Last week I was talking about, you know, the power that is in the love of God. God's love power. But today we are going to talk about experiencing the love of God. See, when you receive from God, you receive His love. Because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve anything. We have to realize that. We have to realize that we come short every day. And but that doesn't matter. He loves us, even beyond our coming short. He loved us when we were completely messed up and we didn't even care. So we are going to see some scriptures for us to really come to the place in we can come in contact with His love and start, you know, creating a foundation, a basis for us, our faith. Because our faith is not trying to get something from God. That is automatic. I mean, we have to believe it. Okay, there is a part there. But we can believe it only if we can believe in God's love for us. Because if we think that God is there to get us, we get gotten by the enemy. Okay? And that's what the problem is, that we often just miss, okay, the basic connection with Him that enables us to break through all the blockages, all the resistance, all the things. See, we have to realize that God loves us more than we can imagine. He created us. We are His children, if we realize it or not. You know, if a father has children that don't behave properly, he still loves them if he's a good father. He still cares for them. He still trusts I have to do everything to bless them. Now, if our Father that is very imperfect, like we are, can do that, can you see a Father that is love? God is love. 1 John 3:8. God is love. I mean, that is the basic characteristics that he has, and he created everything that he created out of the love. Can we believe that he loves us no matter what? See, agape love is unconditional love. There are no strings attached, no nothing that is going to change the love that God has for us. And we do, you know, we don't understand the way he deals with us, and that's the problem. There you are. This is why, you know, we had to change the way we think, the way we see God, in a drastic way, because religion, including Christianity, you know, didn't portray the image that God wanted us to portray, to understand, so that we can connect with him in a proper way. We need to make major changes, because, you know, all religion in the world see God as somebody that is there getting you, and you had to please him. Well, Christianity should not be that way, because God appeased himself through his Son. So he did the work. It's done. There is nothing to do but to connect with what was done from the foundation, from before the problem came. See, the problem is in the world. You know, people are bound by their senses, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. Okay, their senses, the only thing they can see is the physical world. But that's not reality. That's part of reality. That is the second level of reality. The real reality is the spiritual dimension. That's where God is, and that's where he creates things from, and where, you know, things are established, and there is a completely different aspect about time in that dimension. The things that he determined from the beginning, before even the world was created, before the foundation of the world, he knew everything, and he established all the things according to his way to be able to get the result he wanted. Our salvation, he determined before he even sent Jesus on earth, before he even created us. You know, that is not plan B for God. That is the way he was implementing a people that was loving him and responding to his love, even if he left them free will. You know, automatically, by leaving it as free will, he was giving the possibility for us to go in a different direction. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So before he even started, You know, he's a God of order. And everything that he organized and put together and create is determined by laws that are unchangeable. But he, within these unchangeable laws, okay, he was able to establish a way to create a second chance for us, falling because he cares so much about us. Okay. He didn't give that chance to the angels. And they evidently had the opportunity to blow it too, like Adam did. And they did it, even before Adam. Praise the Lord. So we had to start seeing God as he is, rather than us as being portrayed by all the religious people that make him there as somebody that is after you to get you. As soon as you make the smallest mistake. What he wants is for us to connect with him in the right way. But we cannot connect him in the right way if we don't know him, if we don't trust him, if we don't love him. So we had to learn to do that. Okay. In the old, you know, in the Old Testament, okay, up to Jesus, there was not a clear understanding of the way God operated. Only a few people, very few people, could connect him with the right way. And they weren't perfect either. But in a way or another, you know, they had enough experience of God to be able to connect with him to a degree. But Jesus had to come to show us the way God is. Now we should be in a completely different place, and we have to be very careful not to fall in the thinking that is the Old Testament thinking about God, in which most of the people fall in a legalistic way, according to the law that was established by Moses. You know, even in the gospel, when Jesus was relating to people, he was relating to people that could not understand God. They did thought according to the law. This is why, you know, when a scribe came to Jesus, said, what is the most important commandment? God doesn't work by commandments anymore. That doesn't mean that we can break the commandments. Okay. But doesn't make any difference when we have a relationship with him, we are going to do the right thing. The commandments are only there to show us when we are off. So they are just teaching us, they are not saving us. You know, when Jesus said, you know, what's the most important commandment? Jesus said, you know, answer the first and all the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. You know, this is still talking in a legalistic way. You shall love the God. You know, it's a question. You cannot impose. I mean, if I like somebody or you like somebody, you go to there, oh, I love you, you shall love me. You can do that. Doesn't work. Okay? It cannot work. That's not the way a love relationship happens. A love relationship happens when there is a chemistry between two people, and the same thing between us and God. There is a relationship that grows and make us want to be one with them. Are you following me? So we have to really see this. Agape is really unconditional love, but I believe it's better word to use in some translation like the Old King James call it charity, just to distinguish it from the love that we generally intended. But really, it means more than just charity. You know, you can do charity to love God. You know, you can value God. You can trust God. You can believe, have faith in God. That is love. That is agape. When you have agape toward God, you value Him more than anything else. So you can apply that principle, that thing, in your relationship with Him. Okay? And for yourself, it says, you know, you are going to value just as much as yourself. Okay? Now, this is not natural in this world. You cannot love God the way He should be loved only by operating on your flesh. Okay. Your flesh cannot love something that you cannot even see. That's to have a relationship with Him. Okay. Go ahead, go ahead. Are you following me? There has to be a relationship to have love between two individuals, two people. He's a spirit. The only way you can love God is spiritually. Those things that are talking about here are spiritual. You value, okay, you trust, and you have faith. You cannot have faith without the trust and the valuing, that relationship. You may try really hard because you need something and you have heard about preaching faith and that you can get things from God. But you're going to have really, you're going to go always uphill and you're never probably going to get ever anything because it's not the right way to approach the whole thing. Because your relationship with God is going to come always in the middle. Are you following what I'm saying? See, your relationship with God has to be first, before everything else. It's you and Him. Not the things you get, not the things you do, not the things, anything. It's your love with Him and His love for you. And you have to start acquiring, understanding, receiving His love before you can love Him back. And out of that relationship, you know, you cannot have a God that you go pray and nothing happens all the time and love Him. Because you're just fooling yourself. That, you know, you talk and never answers back. Talking to the wall. They cannot be loved there. That's not the way God intended the thing to be. Okay. Your relationship is critical. And you can see that God, if you read the scriptures, you can see that God all the time, as I explained last week, and I'm going to, you know, reinforce even today, all the time, when we miss it, comes to us trying to resolve the situation. He went back to Adam to say, "Where are you?" Don't tell me he didn't know where he was. You know, just asking questions. Why was he asking questions? He wanted the right answer. He wanted to see that Adam wanted to be connected with him more than defending himself for his mistake. Okay. Instead, what do? Start blaming everybody else, including God. That shows really that he was just unrepentant. He was just not even acknowledging that he made something wrong. He was in some way acknowledging making something wrong, but the only thing he was afraid is the consequences and the fear. Instead of going to him, if there is a love relationship there, he should have run to God, says, Lord, I missed it. Please help me. I'm sure God would help him. That's why he reached him now. The same thing with, so God has to do the right thing. And he did it. Same thing with Cain. I mean, he went there and he still was trying to commit. He was a murderer, but to God doesn't make any difference. There is no difference between small sin and large things, sins. You break one element of the law, you break them all. So you can be, saying something that is unclean or something wrong or wrong thought, it's like you are a murderer. And God always there to connect with us and to resolve the situation and to guide us. And Jesus came so that we can understand how to establish the relationship better than before, not just trying to kill some animals to take our place. Praise the Lord. The way we see God is the way we are going to respond. When we see God in a wrong perspective, we are going to respond in a way that is not going to please him. But when we see him the right way, we run to him when we make a mistake. Psalm 18, verse 24 and following says, Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. We have to understand this, and we are going to expand on that. I'm going to finish a few verses here, and then I'm going to expand on those. With the merciful, you shall show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. And to the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down the haughty looks. The haughty look. So he's saying something here. God deals with us according to the way we deal with him. The way we see him, we are going to respond according to the way. If we think he's going to get me, we are going to run away, and we are going to lie, and we are going to do all the things that Adam and Cain and all the others, and we do also all the time. Okay. That's not the way to, but the humble, I will save the humble people. Save them means, that even when they make a mistake, I will be there to help them and to break through. That's what saved there is for. This was Old Testament. That's a prophetic statement. This is not talking about the God deals with us, that way because he's that way. He's not that way. That's the way we see him, and that's the way we relate to him. Because we see him as we are. Just as faulty as we are. And he's not. He will save the humble. Who is the humble? The one who puts himself down? No. The humble is somebody that read the word, know what God says, and believes it, and don't go according to his own ideas, not his haughty thoughts, or his magnifying himself in the truth, instead of, you don't know anything. You just go to the word and see what the word says, and believe what the word says, and deal with them according to what the word says. See, believe God's word, not your ideas, your reasoning, teaching that you heard that are religious, or even your experiences in the past. God's word and his word and himself are just one. So you can go to the word to find out things. Now, to love God, then, you had to start developing a relationship with him. You don't get loving God from nothing to everything. There has to be a breakthrough. At the beginning, we are in a fallen state, so there has to be a breakthrough at the beginning, and that should be, for example, when you accept what he did with Jesus and through Jesus for you. And you really believe it. Not that just, you know, religious things that you go through and you say, okay, no, you believe what it says and you start responding to that love. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So I start there. See, before you actually experience his forgiveness, you're not going to love God. Why should you? But when you really experience his forgiveness and you really understand the full implication of that, okay, fully understanding as you accept the Lord, the implication of what he has done for you and the forgiveness that he has extended to you and appreciating what that means in your life for eternity, and you really got it, you have start to have a basis to love him. And that's the beginning of that relationship in which you start developing a love relationship with him. That basic starting point is critical for your spiritual growth. Are you still with me? You see, often we do not fully grasp that. Okay, we feel it, but it's just superficial. And really, the important thing is for us to be able to receive that truth in ourselves, to be able to start a relationship of love that is going to grow as we grow in him. The more we receive from him, the more love we receive from God, the more we are going to love him. The more we are going to open up. The more we are going to trust him. The more, you know, when you trust somebody that is too early, you know, you get burned. When you start, see, the problem, many people, when they are born again, first of all, they are not really indoctrinated properly. They are just given a very superficial gospel. They don't quite understand this. Their expectations often are completely wrong. And because they have been not discipled, and the expectations are completely off, they are going to be disappointed by what they expect God to do, because he's not going to do everything that they want. And that's where the first love goes down the drain. If they were being properly disciplined from and properly discipled from the very beginning, they would be able to grow and understand and grow into that relationship, because they have the right understanding, the right values. But unfortunately, discipleship today is not done very much, is it? Many pastors are even against discipleship because of some past experiences were negative. So there is, we are an handicap from the starting beginning. Start from the beginning about the growth in this love relationship and becomes just a religious activity. And we cannot have the proper image of God. Okay. You know, the scripture is very clear. There are, all the Bible is talking about this. God's loving us. But, it takes so many different aspects. Everybody knows John 3:16, and it becomes so something that people are not even sensitive to that. Okay. But they say this: God loves the world. He doesn't say God loves believers or Christians or whatever. So he loves everybody, including the messier people that you can ever think in history. To the point that if even, a serial killer repent, he takes him in. Hello? So whoever believes, says whoever, that covers everybody, okay, should not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, he wants to give everlasting life. It's his life. The type of life that he gave at the beginning. The life of God inside that person that before was darkness, like the devil. Okay. And he sent his son not to condemn the world. They're condemned already. But to save them. That through them, through him, they might be saved. But that's the plan from the beginning. That was before the foundation of the world that is established and was already revealed later on in a clear way with the gospel. God's intention, God's position, God's willingness for us is to connect with him no matter where we come from. We cannot grasp that, because that we wouldn't react that way. We wouldn't do it that way. Okay. But says there, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned, not because he's condemned already. I mean, that's the condemnation you put yourself. That's the condemnation we put on ourselves all the time, that we respond like Adam did, and that we respond as Cain did, and I respond as we do sometimes. Go away, hide away, instead of running to him. And why? Because we love darkness more than light. Verse 19. See, there are many people that will understand that, but then the whole thing, the situation shifts because religion comes into the picture. So, well, yeah, I know, but now you are a believer, you have to do everything right. Hello? Do you know anybody that can do everything right? So you better start changing the way you think, because you are not doing, no matter how hard you work to do or follow all the law, you are going to fall every day many times. And you don't, for that reason, don't have to be allowing the devil to put condemnation in yourself and to keep you bound there and to keep you separated from the love of God. God is there to pick you up. And there are many scriptures to say that very clearly. Romans 5:8. Okay. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You stop there and you got the initial communication. Now you better run up. Now but better behave. Well, verse 9 following. Much more than having been justified. Much more than having been justified by his blood. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. I mean, what Jesus did doesn't stop at the beginning. He's continued to work for us. About this, in the same way, in the same principle that worked at the beginning. For if we when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more. Can you say much more? I mean, that's our expectation, is, or should be. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Okay. So that's the thing that we have to recognize. Okay, we have to have our expectation as to be that God loves us even when we miss it. Lots of people say, well, you know, it's like the parent says, well, you know, if you are not be good, I don't love you anymore. That's a really a bad thing to say to the child. And we think that God does that. That's really a bad parent saying that. You want to apply that to the father? Are you following what I'm saying? We have to change the way we think because we know some things are wrong, but we just have taken them because that's what we have been shoveled down on our throat. Okay? That doesn't mean we go around doing wrong things. We stay connected with God. We know the love of God. The love of God is going to show us and guide us and direct us. Just because we sin doesn't mean the Holy Spirit disappears. He dealt with us before we were sinners. He's not going to deal with us once we got saved. Praise the Lord. God's love is not the result of our righteousness. It's there all the time. In Titus chapter 3, verse 3 says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pressures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward us had appeared, toward men had appeared, not by the work of righteousness which we had done, but according to his mercy, has saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Hallelujah. You see, he's done that. And he's not finished. Okay. So it says there. And having been justified by what? Our righteousness? No, by his grace. See, that's his position, his grace. We should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. we can have hope for eternal life, and we can become heir. That means, you know, all the benefits that Jesus procured can become ours, and we have to come into that place in which we start taking those premises, those promises for us, so that we can manifest the whole inheritance. Are you still there? You see, I mean, that gives a completely different perspective. Okay. This is why John 10:10 then start to make sense. The thieves come but to steal and kill and destroy. I came to give you life and give it more abundantly. Here he's not talking about, you know, having a good life. You go around, you know, partying and doing things. That's not meaning. Okay. He's simply saying, you know, he's giving God's life to you, to the one I was reading before. The thief is where all our problems come from. And directly or indirectly, okay, he's not God that puts stuff on us to teach us anything. God doesn't teach anything by giving us trouble. He doesn't make us sick because we sinned. You can see some very big sinners that are going around. Why? The devil doesn't want to. He wants to, you keep using them and keep them. But when you become a believer, he just doesn't like you too much. And he takes any advantage he can. This is why you have to be close to God, so that you are under his protection. And even if the enemy gets to you, you kick him off. He flees because you know what to do. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. You know, give us life more abundantly. This is the life of God that Jesus came to give us. Okay, it's eternal life. That means it's not just life down here. It's life that you are going to have forever. Hallelujah. That includes everything in salvation. Because that salvation is all about reestablishing that eternal life manifestation, even the physical manifestation of this life. Including forgiveness, healing, deliverance, peace, and all the life that you can think forever. Hallelujah. Both spiritual and physically. Okay. Now, okay, in the early church, that was the experience. That both physically and spiritually, they experienced this life. And it's, you know, but the critical part, if you don't have the spiritual experience, you cannot have the physical manifestation. The old things go together and are normal for the Christian life, or for followers or disciples of Jesus. I mean, it's very clear, okay, in Mark chapter 16. Okay, it doesn't say there, okay, if you have, you know, are a believer, you're going to be preaching the gospel. Well, if you preach the gospel and you don't show the impact of that, you are talking empty words. You don't know anymore what you're talking about. There says very clearly, who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and who does not believe shall be condemned. And the sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will drink anything deadly and will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I mean, everything is talking about believers. Says, you know, they'll demonstrate the spiritual reality of what they are talking about. Otherwise, don't qualify. I remember preaching that at one of our convention when I was the president of ECMFC. I got people offended. I wasn't doing anything. I was reading the scriptures. So, and doesn't stop there. Verse 19. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up in heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And didn't stop there either. And they went out preaching and preached everywhere. The Lord doing what? Working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Can you say amen to that? See, that's what produces people that believe, and they start believing in their forgiveness and their salvation at the beginning, and start to experience the spiritual dimension that is operating in them too. If we just operate in the mental, philosophical ideas, that's not going to do any good. Because the love is not going to grow. Because it's going to be, we are going to remain weak and unable to receive the love of God. Receiving the love of God means that we are actually receiving the blessing. We see that what the word says is true. We see, we trust God. We trust his word because the word is true. Because God is faithful. Because God is faithful, not because what we want, but because God is faithful to his word. Hallelujah. See, this is why in John 3:1-12 says, you know, but as many as believed in him, he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of man, of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Okay. So this is the thing, you know, the idea that he's trying to communicate here. If you are a child of God, that means God is your father. That means you cannot be, what does it mean God is your father? Okay, means that you are similar to him. He made you in his image. What you look like now is not his image. It's your spirit is his image. He sent Jesus and made him have your image so that you could understand better. But we cannot connect with the spirit the same way as we connect with Jesus. We can see him in operation. And even seeing Jesus in operation, okay, most of the people, even his disciples, have a problem seeing God. And we're going to see more. But we have to start seeing, okay, this. I mean, when we take, okay, what God has done, okay, receive Jesus, okay, then believe. We know we have faith in him. It's not just, you know, we start like believing what he has done, believing in his name, okay, having faith in what his name says he is, our Savior, the one that takes away your sin, the one that changes everything in our life. When we start believing that and put faith in what he has done, that is the first step. That is the first step to realize what is available to us, that he has opened up a relationship with the Father. And we are not anymore people disconnected with him, but we are connected with him, with the spiritual dimension. And we start living and having existence in that dimension, not just on this one. And actually, our time we're living and us living in that dimension is more important than the one down here. Because that's what is there is eternal. What is here is temporary. We can change the things that are down here because they are not lining up with the things up there. For example, who himself bore our sin on this cross, that we may have death to sin, so that by his stripes we were healed. So before we get healed, we were healed. That means up there, that happened already, happened 2,000 years ago, actually happened from the very beginning because it was working even before Jesus came. Are you following what I'm saying? So our lives start to be shifted from this physical reality to the spiritual reality, and the physical reality become dominated by the spiritual one. Hallelujah. So Jesus came in, coming, and we taking him is the first contact that we have with this in an evident, clear, logical way even for us as we understand his message and the gospel. And this is just the beginning. That's just the beginning. We can, you know, from that moment on, our baby walk in the spiritual dimension should start growing. We should start getting experience. We should know what to do, not just keep living at this level. We shall start living at that level. See, Jesus, you know, the Lord's Prayer, even if that was still Old Testament prayer, that, you know, what is in heaven, you know, come down on earth. That is our mission. That is our experience. Praise the Lord. And we're going to continue. See, I mean, what I want to do is to get you to the place where you know how to make the love of God grow in you. You start meditating on the things I already said before and today. And you know, you are going to start producing something inside you. Okay? But it's much more. It doesn't stop there. That love has to keep growing. Has to keep manifesting. You don't get, you know, to love God by going just to a meeting and listening to somebody preaching and getting all excited about it. You go out and you lose it. The same way as healing. People go and get healed and then, you know, half of them, and maybe even more, lose it. Why? They weren't healed? That's what journalists say and people like that. They don't know what they're talking about. They were. But the whole thing just, they didn't have the faith to hold it. Because they didn't love God enough, trust God enough, believe God enough that he was for them, there, helping them, that he had done it and he's going to keep doing it. Same thing, you know, for deliverance. People get delivered, they get it back. Why? Because they don't know that God's power is with them. And that's why Jesus said, you know, make sure that the place is cleaned up. And, you know, how do you clean it up? Just by saying a little prayer? Forget it. It's naive to think that going through emotion or going through a formula is going to produce anything. Formulas don't work. It's spiritual things that produces results. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close for now. Do you get anything today? I want that glow, that love to grow in us, to become so strong, to overcome everything. Then you don't need to dare try to have faith, because your faith is the love that you have for Jesus and for God and for all the things it has done for you. And all the experiences piling up one after the other, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Okay. Sometimes we have ideas that are naive about the way God goes doing, going to work on us. And then we get disappointed because we are naive, because nobody taught us, because nobody discipled us enough. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray in general. If you want prayer for that, if you feel that God is talking to you in a way and they want to really appropriate them more, I'm going to pray for you personally. Okay. Right now I pray for everybody. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, you're a good God, that we may realize fully in ourselves that you're such a good God that we can't even understand it. How can you be so good? That you are there all the time to pick us up, no matter how much down we fall. That you love us beyond our understanding, and that you are there to minister to us eternal life. A life that when it's operating in us can change everything. That we may be in union with you. That we may be joined with the Lord, be one spirit with you. And Lord, that your power may be manifested in us. That we may walk in the spiritual dimension, Lord, more than in the physical dimension. That may become the normal for us. And that the way of the world is not normal for us. So, Lord, we ask you to give us the understanding, Lord. Give us the anointing. Give us the experiences. Give us, Lord, the breakthrough in which our love can grow for you, so that, Lord, our trust in you and your word may grow to the place in which we can walk in victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.